Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
You got to connect with the people that you're going to have, that you're going to coach, that's going to make up your program. To me, that was a priority number one. And from there, I think you got to, for me, it was immersing myself within the athletic department. I've never worked at NIU. I don't know how to do business. And so I wanted to make sure that I had people helping me before I went in there and thinking I had all the answers and putting myself in a box, opposed to having to make a decision not based on real time information and education on how business is conducted at Northern Illinois. So I wanted to do those two things. The recruiting piece you do every day, right? I do that every day.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the Rising Coaches Association, the biggest coaching tree in all of basketball. Sign up for the Rising Coaches Association now for just $120 a year and become part of our community, relationships, and development. We talk about it all the time. There's no straight lines in this profession. There's only ups and downs. You need a community that knows exactly what you're going through and has been there before to help lean on during the rough times of the industry. You need genuine relationships, not just exchanging numbers, not just meeting new people at the Final Four in the off season. You should be doing it all year round, and we provide tremendous opportunities to create those genuine relationships all through the year. And finally, development. We have so much content and so many resources so that you can work on your craft and become a better coach. Because we put such a premium and an emphasis on helping you establish new, genuine relationships, it takes all of the political BS side of the business out of the equation for you. All of that gets removed off of your plate. You can just worry about being you, making new friends in the business, and working on your craft and becoming the best coach that you can be and impacting the people that you're around on a daily basis. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com/membership on risingcoaches.com. All right, welcome back to the Rising Coaches Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Fulcrum Tech. If you are looking for the best video editing software in the game and looking to save thousands of dollars in the process, visit our friends at Fulcrum Tech. And they'll set you up with their new product, Angles. The best video edit, I've had a chance to use it. I've used them all in my coaching career. And by far the best video editor that I've used. And again, at a fraction of the cost of some of the other products out there. So check out Fulcrum Tech at fulcrumtech.com. There's no H at the end of that tech. It's T-E-C. That's I guess the cool way to spell it.
Yeah.
excited for our guest today, a very busy man, the new head coach at Northern Illinois, Rashawn Burno. Rashawn, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Sorry about the little technical delay, but excited to be here.
Yeah, no problem at all. First of all, congratulations. I'm sure it's been a long time coming. You worked hard for this moment.
Yeah, it's been a journey, but it was well worth it. You know, throughout the journey, I've met some unbelievable people. Lifelong friendships was fostered through competition. So, extremely humbled for the opportunity. But you know, it's a grind, man. It's been a grind. So excited to see what happens.
Okay, well, how long ago? 10 days ago, you got the job?
Yeah, almost. 10 days actually. 10 days.
Okay. Take us in those 10 days, especially with it being the first, you were like the first hire, right, of this like off season, not including like the interims that got, you know, contracts. But, you know, you're talking to mostly coaches here, and we've all been on the other side of it, like trying to get jobs. If someone's had a cup of coffee with you, they probably think they got a really good chance to get on your staff. Like, take us inside, like just some of the chaos and like how you've managed all the people reaching out.
Honestly, that's been the most difficult part, because you want to be respectful. You're flattered that you received so many text messages, well wishes, people wanting to be a part of your staff. But it becomes overwhelming, because you do want to do a good job of just reaching back out, personally thanking a lot of people who've helped you along the way. So it's ongoing. You know, you turn your phone off and 40 text messages later, you're like, wow. But I'm happy. One thing, this new hire. So the new guys are taking some of the steam out of my sail, which is phenomenal. So hopefully they'll get bombarded with text messages and well wishes also. So
it's got to be hard being first. I feel like as the summer goes on, like people get worn down by the, you know, by the carousel, but being first, you're in the spotlight by yourself.
Yeah, which is good for NIU. That's a good thing. So, you know, obviously never going to complain about people wanting to help you further your journey, further your career. So I'm super excited about that. But it you got to manage how you spend your time when you get a when you get your first opportunity, because you're going to get pulled in so many different directions. The other underrated thing is you want to lead the right way. And you want to make sure you tie up all the loose ends with your previous staff and with your you know, obviously your boss, and then make sure you connect with all the guys that you recruited and the guys that you coach. So it's a lot, but I wouldn't change anything.
Can you take us a little bit inside of like how it went down in terms of like, as much as I know some of the stuff you probably got to, you know, keep private, but in terms of like how you're getting contacted, is it a search firm? Is it your agent? Like, was it a lot of rounds of interviews? Did you know right away, like, this is the one? Or, you know, like, what was your kind of take us inside that?
Well, when it opened, and I think it opened in January, I try to look for opportunities that fit me, regardless of location. You know, I wanted to make sure that my first head coaching job fit who I was and what I wanted in regards to, and it obviously it varies for different people based on what your belief system is. But NIU was unique because as a high school coach, I used to send some of my players to campus there, camp. And I knew of the area. I lived about 45 to an hour outside of DeKalb. So I knew the area somewhat. And so throughout the process of the year going on, you know, you keep tabs, you kind of do your research with the hope that an opportunity may come where you can interview for the situation. So I got contacted through Daniel Parker, the search, you know, obviously Parker's search firm, established a relationship maybe 3 years prior with Daniel and his search firm, stayed in contact, didn't want to become a nag, but just enough to where he understood what I was about. And then it kind of manifested itself from there.
I imagine you've been involved in jobs before, like head coaching interviews. I don't know that. But did this one feel like, did you feel like it was your job the whole time? Or, you know, the more of these you do, the more like reserved you get, or at least that's how I've been. You know, the first interview I went on, I was like, oh, this is mine, I got it. And then after you get, you know, you go through some rejection, you're a little bit more cautiously optimistic, but not like on the edge of your seat like that. I'm just wondering if you, like, from the beginning had a great feeling about this, or were you just kind of seeing where the process went?
A little bit of both. You know, we've both been, you know, as you mentioned, you know, hey, I was on the phone with the coach for 45 minutes. So and you kind of like try to trick yourself to believe in like you had a great conversation. You tell yourself that to motivate for the next call. But I was kind of reserved. I've been through the process before, so I didn't want to get, you know, too excited or too low. Just be even keel. I really prepared for this opportunity more than others, just because I had that window from January all the way to February 28th, or when it was when I first initially interviewed. So I knew the talking points I wanted to emphasize. I knew some of the players, meaning administrators. So I wasn't cramming for the interview, because I honestly prepared and had a good grasp of what they were looking for, what has transpired in the last 2-3 years within the program. And so when Mr. Parker reached out, I felt confident that if given an opportunity to sit in front of him, I'll be good enough to get a second interview. That was my goal. If I can get a second interview, then things are going to probably slide in my favor, because I felt confident from that standpoint.
What did that preparation look like? You mentioned, you know, you keyed in on certain individuals that were involved on the committee. What other types of things were you kind of researching?
Just the school, right? A lot of times, and this is the case, and I didn't have any foresight before. I just speculated and said, you know what? I'm gonna go out and research not just the AD, associate AD, the basketball people. Research the school. Understand what the president's about, what he or she feels about not just athletics, but the overall community. And then when you get an opportunity to sit in front of that president, now you have more background on what they feel is important for education and for the institution. And so a lot of times you over prepare for stats and you know win percentages and defenses, all that stuff matters. I'm not trying to devalue that, but the president's going to have a say in who he or she hires to be the face of their athletic department, program. And so I really try to get a little bit of insight on what the president was about so I can tailor my pitch, my presentation, based on some of the information that's out there publicly.
I love it. Okay, one more question about the process, just because I know people hit us up with these questions all the time. Are you a big like portfolio guy? Did you give them like a 100-page document, or do you keep it like pretty simple in terms of your presentation?
Pretty simple. You know, I liken it to if you went to your mailbox and someone sent you a big packet you'll glance over, but you're really not going to thoroughly go through it. And so I wanted to be as organized in my thoughts as humanly possible to try to make a connection with the individuals that you're interviewing with. I don't want anyone to be distracted. I didn't want anyone to be distracted by looking at a binder. I'm going to tell you my story, and you can research it later, but I want you to focus in on me and what I'm saying. And so I didn't want to distract anyone from, and it may work for others, but for me, I wanted to present my story and give you my vision live.
Great advice. Okay, so 10 days ago, you got it. How many days have you been able to spend on campus there? Or if at all? Oh, I assume you were up there for the press conference.
Yeah, just one day. I'm actually going back for an extended period of time tomorrow. Okay. You know, obviously you communicate like we are now via Zoom with the people that's on the ground. But I've been just getting organized, get my thoughts together, trying to figure out what I'm going to do staff wise, what I'm going to do individual instructions, how I'm going to integrate myself with the community, integrate myself with the athletic department. So just really trying to hit on those things. And so when I do get there tomorrow, I'm hitting the ground running.
Okay, I have a couple of things I want to dive into along those lines. Number one, how important is it to you to find like time to yourself, especially over those last 10 days, to like have some like time for thought and get away from the noise and the text messages and, you know, all the obligations that you've had? Or is there just no time for that? Like, are you getting away and jogging every day or working out, or, you know, like
you have to, have to, especially for first time head coaches. And it's overwhelming with the amount of responsibility that's on you. And more important that you feel that you have on you, right? The reality is you're taking over a new program. You have to connect with the 13 guys, the 12 guys you got in your locker room. You got to make sure that they feel wanted and needed. And then you have to wear the other hat where you got to do administrative things that you've never had to do at a consistent basis. So I think finding time to jot down your thoughts, getting in it, whether you're working out, whether you're getting in a car for a drive to whatever, like you need to quiet your mind and get peace of mind, more importantly, because it does become overwhelming and you can get a little ahead of yourselves, worrying about things that need to take place in July and you're worrying about it now. And so staying organized in your thoughts, I would tell you, is probably the most important thing you can do. And you got to turn your phone off. Got to turn your phone off to get peace of mind, to get clarity. You got to turn your phone off. And I fall victim to, like, I don't think I've had a full battery, and I've charged my phone every night. I don't think I had a full battery since I took the job. I could never have enough battery because you're constantly fielding phone calls, making phone calls, returning text messages, figuring out, you know, what do you need for your roster? All those things that we do every day gets magnified when you first take over a program.
Okay, so you've got like 10 things that when you take over a program, you got to get to right away. Have you like organized, like prioritized, like you mentioned a few of them just now, like hire a staff, connect with the current players, connect with people around campus, recruit,
You know, like what, how are you attacking that? Some people go straight to the roster. Some people go straight to their staff. You know, what's the order of priority for you?
Well, for me, it was the players, you know, to have some empathy there, understand that they have their concerns. New guy come in, especially when you take over a program where a coach was, you know, obviously not retained. There's a lot of fear. And a lot of those guys want to know, are you going to keep me? Do I have a role? Do you like me? And so I think having that awareness, you got to connect with the people that you're going to have, that you're going to coach, that's going to make up your program. To me, that was a priority number one. And from there, I think you got to, for me, it was immersing myself within the athletic department. I've never worked at NIU. I don't know how to do business. And so I wanted to make sure that I had people helping me before I went in there and thinking I had all the answers and putting myself in a box, opposed to having to make a decision not based on real time information and education on how business is conducted at Northern Illinois. So I wanted to do those two things. The recruiting piece you do every day, right? I do that every day. I don't need to refocus myself. I'm constantly contacting my people that I trust and value in that region. And so I don't really, do I have to shift my focus? Some, yes, because I'm no longer looking at this type of player, but in order for us to beat the schools that we need to beat, we got to recruit at a high level. So I didn't think I needed to readjust anything. I think I needed to prioritize how many people I call back per day. But those other three things I mentioned were more, way more important for me to reestablish, you know, the identity of the program. And I think it starts with the players. I think you got to do a tremendous job of just reassuring those guys that they'll have an opportunity to play for you. That was more important than hitting the ground and pounding the phones and try to get new kids.
Okay, what will the identity of your new program be?
It's going to be fun, passionate, fierce competitors. I think in order to turn something around, you got to compete. Yet again, I understand the magnitude of what I entered in regards to taking over for someone who was let go. So we did that here at Arizona State. You got to put a really, really good product out there, not just talent and winning games, but you got to get guys to compete at a high level. I think if you do that every night, people start buying in to the overall vision of the program.
How much of your philosophy has come? You've worked for some great people, right? You played for Coach Hurley. You most recently worked with his son, Bobby. You worked for Coach Donovan. How much of like where are you getting the bulk of your, does all of it always kind of go back to Coach Hurley Sr. in New Jersey, your high school coach, or like, do you constantly see yourself going back to that foundation, or are you kind of taking bits and pieces from everywhere?
I think the foundation will always be with Coach Hurley Sr. because it's not just basketball, right? It's not, his foundation is just about just men, being a good man, being a good citizen, being a good teammate, being a good person, right? The accountability, the discipline you need in life, period. So I think from that standpoint, that will be my foundation, has always been my foundation. Coach Donovan was unique in a sense of his ability to maximize talent, not just on the court, but off the court. The mental approach that we're going to take with our student athletes, the things that we're going to emphasize, the things that we're going to talk about every day is going to help these guys reach their full potential. And then Coach Hurley, you know, that my obviously Coach Bob Hurley, he's more of a fierce competitor. His will to win is second to none. And so all those things I've learned throughout my journey will be a part of my overall identity, but also I have to be myself. I can't try to mimic people I work for because I'm not them. Right. And so that's important for any coach, is be you, be authentic. And you can always implement things that you've learned along the way. But ultimately, you got to have an identity for yourself. Kids today see through fakeness. And I can't be Billy Donovan. I can't be Bob Hurley. I can't be Mr. Hurley, but I can be who I am. And some of their lessons can help me shape my identity. So those are the things that, you know, that I'll carry with my program. And then obviously I'm going to find my own voice as a head coach.
Rashawn, you—it sounds like you already found it. You sound like you've been doing—you've been a head coach for 10 years now.
Well, thank you, but you know it's going to be different. But you know, I've learned that like who you are through competition with Shell, right? If you're about the right stuff every day, right, and you prepare the right way every day, you'll be prepared for the moment. And this moment is something that I've been fortunate. I've been preparing to be a head coach every day, so. Hopefully I'm ready.
What do you foresee the biggest challenge being?
I probably would say just because you wear a different hat as an assistant, right? You're kind of like, you know, jack of all trades because you have to in regards when you're associated coach and stuff like that. I would just say just the pressure of making sure. And not that you had less as an assistant, but everything falls on your lap, good, bad, and ugly. And just being able to manage expectations, being able to manage your own expectations, it will be a challenge. Because you want to go out and compete and you want to go out and win, but when you lose at your whatever Arizona State, whatever school as an assistant, your name is not in the front page of the paper. Right? You get to go home and you're not fielding, they're not saying fire the assistant coach. Right. At some places they do, but not for most places they won't. It's always the head coach. So just getting prepared for that. And that's stuff that I can't control, but it's a part of the job.
Who will you like lean on in times where you do need some guidance? Like who do you lean on in the profession? Not, you know, excluding like family and people that are close to you personally, but coaches, like who will you be calling after a late night loss, you know, when you're down and out?
Just the people that's in your circle. You know, Billy is Coach Donovan is right down the road. I joked with him that I'm going to stay in the basement for the first 90 days. he was 45 minutes down the road. Coach, you know, obviously Coach Hurley, Mr. Hurley, all my friends in the business, because they've all gone through it. They can tell me exactly how to handle certain situations. But also I want to walk through some doors, you know, with no preconceived notions either. I think that's good for learning. But, you know, all the guys that I lean on now will still be in my inner circle. The good thing is, you know, Bobby was a first-time head coach, so he can give me a tremendous, and is, you know, obviously more recent than Coach Donovan, he can give me a tremendous amount of information on the do's, the don'ts as a first-time head coach. But I'm just using the basketball community to try to help me get through this first year.
Okay. What about let's move to like the good stuff on the court. Let's talk some hoops. How are you going to try to play specifically defensively? You guys going to get up and down? You guys going to try to grind it out? What are you thinking there?
Well, I'm still learning the roster. But we do have some talent. We got some size, some athleticism, some quickness. So that lends to, a press and defense. We're going to get out and try to force tempo. This league is really, really good. If you watch the Ohio Buffalo game, there's some really, really good players in this league. So we're gonna try to do some things different. Defensively, we're gonna press. We're gonna get out, do that. We're gonna play some zone. We're gonna try to mix some things up. Offensively, we're gonna play fast but under control. Try to utilize the roster as I best can. Tailor a lot of stuff towards the talent that I have on that roster. So I'm excited on both ends of the floor, but I do think we're gonna play an exciting brand of basketball.
And what kind of guys, like when you hit the recruiting trail? Well, I guess whenever the NCAA
Zoom trail,
yeah, right. Well, hopefully they open it up in July. So let's say you're out there in July. Like, what type of dudes are you looking for? What's a Rashawn Berno player?
Competitors, guys that just want to go out and compete the right way. Just the intangibles, you know, good teammate, good body language. Obviously talent, you want to evaluate talent. That speaks for itself, but just the intangibles, stuff that you're going to need to win, you know, close games to get your program over the hump. So, but mainly just guys that love to compete, that hate to lose, but lose the right way. You know what I mean? Just guys that compete the right way. Ultimately is the number one thing that will attract me.
What about is it any different for the point guard position, especially with you being a former point guard?
Yeah, you got to be a little bit different. Just same thing, competitive, but also IQ. You know, you feel for the game. Now, obviously, these guys aren't going to be able to manage games the way I want as a high school senior or junior. But just to have the awareness of how to play the position, that's something that I will evaluate and really be looking for guys that can run a team and have a feel for how to get others involved, you know. So the typical stuff. But yeah, that position will get scrutinized a little bit more.
I love it. Your teams at Arizona State, especially like, you know, over the last few years, like Coach Hurley has a knack for getting guys to play offensively, like loose and with like a certain swagger about them. And like, it's hard to deal with that. Like, how do you, you know, anticipate trying to get your guys confident? I mean, that's always the balance, right? Like shot selection versus confidence.
Yeah.
How do you kind of intend on handling that?
Try to make it as deja vu as possible through workouts. I think the one thing Coach doesn't get enough credit is the mental approach to how he gets our guys ready. Given you can't give someone confidence, right? Confidence is earned through time, action, repetition. And so those are the things that we'll do with our guys, is give them an opportunity to earn it, their own confidence. I don't believe you can say, I can give someone positive information, but he who has confidence is a person that put work in. And I use the analogy, I tell it, like, if you took an exam on Friday and studied on Thursday, more than likely you're not gonna have confidence that you're gonna pass that exam. But if you study Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you walk in a little bit more confident for the test on Friday. And so we're gonna put a lot of work in, but you know, our guys will have the freedom because they've earned the right to have that freedom through hard work and putting in work to get better on and off the court. So we're going to give our guys a tremendous amount of freedom. We're going to encourage our guys to be expressive, but it also has got to fall under the team umbrella as well. You know, there's nothing that's going to take away from the team. No individual player is going to take away from the team. It's all got to be done the right way.
You guys, again, at Arizona State, did a really good job. You know, you got some JUCO guys, you got some transfers, you got some great high school talent. Will it be a mix at NIU? Do you really covet, you know, experience? That seems to be a trend that, you know, stay old. What's your thought process in terms of that?
I think it lends to success. I truly believe the older you are, the better chances. The other thing is you've got to be aware of this transfer portal. That's going to change the game tremendously. The trend of poaching, you know, good mid-major players to go to the high major level. You got to be aware of all that stuff. And so we're going to have a balanced roster as much as we humanly possibly can. I think youth is good for the future. I think, you know, having some older guys that's already been through some wars, whether it's with you or other places, to come in and pour into the program would be vital. So we're going to have a mixture. But, you know, I think high school guys are important. I think being able to develop a young high school guy as a freshman so that person can be ready as a junior to take you to the next level or to win championships is important. So we're going to have a mixture of old, young with the roster moving forward.
Yeah, and you certainly got a lot of talent in the state of Illinois to be able to do that. So,
yeah,
that helps. Okay, Rashawn, last thing I want to do is I want you to give us some advice. Let's say I'm an assistant coach. I've been doing it, you know, whatever, 5 years. Obviously, you paid your dues and did it for a while. What advice could you give me? I want to be a head coach one day. What's the biggest things you learned, you know, during your time as an assistant that helped you get to where you are today?
The first thing is perfect your craft. Be the very best assistant coach that you can be. The other thing is don't box yourself in, right? Don't just make yourself to be a one trick pony. Oh, I just recruit. Oh, I'm a recruiter. Like, stay away from labels. Mm-hmm. You're a coach. That's the first and foremost. The thing that I truly believe that young assistant coaches need to, and I was victim of it too, because, you know, my third year in the business, I'm thrust on Billy Donovan's staff, right? So now I'm trying to figure out, like, how do I make my mark? How do I get Billy to see me? And I just, well, the only mark I can make is in recruiting. And I was so wrong. I was so wrong. And I think if your head coach cares about you and your development as a coach, hold them accountable to expose you to different aspects of the game, not just on the court, the game of coaching, meeting with boosters, sitting in meetings with the AD, sitting in meetings with ticketing, sitting in meetings with these sports administrators. That's going to get you prepared to be a head coach, because ultimately when you sit down and you got to articulate your vision of a program, it's hard to sell something you've never done. It's hard to do that. So if you don't know how to handle dealing with a president for the first time, or what are you doing for fundraising? What are you doing for ticket sales? Then you're gonna really put yourself in a tough situation in order to get a job. And so I would tell my young guys, assistant coaches, make sure that you hold your head coach accountable for your development. Have him pour into you as you're pouring into the program. Because I know most of us don't get all the accolades we deserve because we wear many different hats, right? The best thing your head coach can do for you is prepare you to be a head coach.
So important thing. So good. So good. Especially, you know, when you talk about, you know, you felt like you needed to make an impact on Billy Donovan's staff. And so you focused on recruiting and you were wrong. How did you learn you were wrong? How did you learn that lesson?
Because when opportunities presented itself, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. And it was no fault but my own. I was so focused on trying to win the recruiting war that I really missed the true meaning of what a coach does every day, right? You can be wildly successful as a recruiter, but be put in a box and you never get seen other than, oh, that guy can get players. Like that's a bad label, right? How do you invoke change in young men is more important than how do you get players? Because if you just buy, you can be standing by a tree and get a player, right? How do you develop them? How are you gonna get them better? How's your administration viewing you, right? If only you do all the things you do is just on a court, how did your administration view you as a colleague? Are you competent? Those are the things that matter. So when you sit in front of a search firm or you sit in front of a president or AD or a booster or whomever, you got to give off the appearance that you know what you're doing if given the opportunity. And a lot of times as assistant coaches, we get so tunnel vision on just getting players, that, all right, what are you going to do when you get the player? Right? We can't, and I tell my guys all the time, you cannot spend 24 hours on the phone. Right? You cannot. What are you doing to pour into yourself, right, to get yourself better? Are you calling the SID? Are you calling your associate AD? Are you calling your AD to try to go to lunch? Not about getting a job, but just trying to, why did you hire Billy Donovan? Why did you hire Bobby Hurley? What do you guys look for? And then you can formulate a plan from there. But the most important thing is you got to make sure your head coach is pouring into you, not just giving you an opportunity for a job. That's great and you've earned it. But how are you preparing me to become a head coach if that's your ultimate goal? If that's your ultimate goal, you got to think beyond recruiting, because that's just not enough. The jobs are too hard to get and you'll miss your opportunity because you're just focused on one aspect of what it really, really entails.
Rashawn, thanks so much, man. This was great. I know you're a busy man, so I'm going to try to get you out of here on time, but so much great insight and wisdom, and appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us today.
Whatever. Listen, I'm one of you guys. So if I can ever help anyone on this call, get my information. By no means do I have all the answers, but I'm willing to seek it out. So I would encourage you guys to do the same. This is an unbelievable platform, and I use it to your advantage. And whatever I can do to help in the future, please let me know.
Thanks, Coach.
Take care. All right, thank you, guys.
What's up, podcast fans? I want to share some information about one of our partners, Lucio Sports. The team at Lucio has built an integrated platform of coaching productivity and player development apps that are being used by some of the best basketball programs around the globe, helping everyone from NBA champions to youth development academies. Their innovative and competitive memorization games make it so much easier for new players and staff members to remotely get caught up to speed. With animated playbooks, drill libraries, player development planning and monitoring, engaging game plans and scouting reports, predictive play drawing, their content services team, and more, Lucio Sports has got you covered. From players to coaches to support staff and executives, use Lucio Sports to securely keep everyone in your organization on the same page with simple on-demand access to your team's entire knowledge base. For more information, check out luciosports.com. That's LUCEO sports.com.